Tonight, we're wrapping up this series called The Name, not because we want to. Honestly, I'd like to go about 18 more weeks in the series, but I know everybody else maybe not as excited as me. But we're going to kind of pause tonight's way I want to say it, because I think the message of the church is we're privileged to carry the name. That's the message of our church. That's not a series that we're doing. That's not like a few week emphasis. Oh yeah, let's talk about carrying the name of Jesus for a few weeks and we'll move on to the next series and the next one. This is really the DNA of who we are. And I've loved the few weeks we've had, but we're gonna just put a little pause after tonight and then we can just move on and we'll come back to it, move away, come back to it, move away. But the idea is this: the church isn't as strong as many people as you can get in a building on a Sunday or a weekend. That's not the strength of the church. The church is as strong as the number of people who've had such an encounter with Jesus personally that they are wearing that on their face and in their lives as they move everywhere in the city and in the world. That's how you know how strong the church is. So we're never gonna really measure a lot here by how many people we can get into a building. We don't talk about it now. We know how many people are here because it's important to know. You need to grow, you need to plan, you need to measure and all that sort of thing. But we don't have any conversations where we sit around after Sundays and go, well, how many people were there this week? Well, how many people did we think we had there? Well, we had such and such a number of people there, because that's not really the measure of the church. The measure of the church is how many of us are really having an encounter with Jesus. I mean, like a real encounter with Jesus, so that as we're walking through life, it's not like, I remember from church, I'm supposed to do X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, from the encounter I just had with Jesus, there's some Jesus on me right now, and anybody who gets around me today is going to get some Jesus off of me today, because he's on me today. That's the hope, and that's the goal, and that's what we're shooting for, an unstoppable force of people who work in big, tall buildings and schools, who live in suburbs and cities, who are young and old, who carry Jesus and the name and power that is in Jesus to the world. Acts 4 is a really good picture of this, and it's a great place for us sort of hit our pause button tonight, and if you're there, we're going to read down a few verses together. We kind of covered most of Acts 1, 2, and 3 a few weeks ago, and I'll back up and remind everybody what's been going on there. But in chapter 3 particularly, a miracle just happened. Chapter 1, Jesus goes to heaven, a little short review, and he says to his followers right before he goes, by the way, here's the way this is going to go down. I'm going to heaven, you're not. I'm going back up to the throne of God, you're not. You're staying here, but don't worry about me leaving, because I'm going to send you power. And when you get the power I'm going to send you, then you're going to be my witnesses. And so that's like life purpose defined right there. Your mission in life and my mission in life, your days on earth and my days on earth are not to carry your name, to carry your agenda, to carry your company, to carry your thing forward. There's a mission that's been clearly defined by Jesus for his followers, and it is when you get the power, you'll be my witnesses. That's the plan. And so you might work at a company, but you're going to be my witness. You might be at school, but you're going to be my witness. You might go to the north or the south or the east or the west, but the thing is that you'll be my witness here, there, and everywhere is what he said to them. Here in the city, in this area, and to the ends of the earth, he said. In chapter 2, the power comes, and the power comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, the whole place just freaks out. So it's like tongues of fire coming down, a mighty rushing wind, the whole building shook. You know, I mean, all of us, I think in our minds, man, I really want to get into that moment at least once in life where something shook a little bit. You know, where it wasn't just all formula and program and church started and we did this and this and this and this and this and then it was over. But there was that moment where we were like, oh my word, the Spirit of God is here. We're in the presence of God. And when the tongues of fire came down and the building shook and the wind blew and the rushing wind came through and the Spirit of God for the first time was fulfilling the promise of Joel and other places in the Old Testament, and that Spirit fell on men and women, they all started speaking in tongues. I loved it when we talked about that a few weeks ago, because that's a phrase you can guarantee to get the tension quotient up in any church you're speaking in anywhere in the world. When you say that phrase, people are like, oh my goodness, honey. What have we come to? But the cool thing about this text in particular, that we all can take a deep breath, is that, if you need to, is that they started speaking in languages. Because what the text says is there were people there from all over the world, and all those different people started hearing the story of Jesus in their own languages and looking at these guys going, I know you're not from where I'm from. How are you telling me about Jesus in my language? Holy Spirit power did a miracle. And then Peter preached a sermon and 3,000 people joined the church. That is a good Sunday right there. That is one, if you're going to talk about numbers, that you want to talk about in the staff meeting the next morning. And then it says the chapter after that, that Peter and John are going up to the temple. It's not something that was unusual to them. And they're heading up to the temple, and they see this guy there who's begging for money. He's not begging to be healed, although he's crippled. He's given up on that. He's begging just for a nickel. And I don't know if they've seen him once, twice, 10 times, or 100 times. But on this day is a different day because the Spirit has come and miracles have started happening. Power has come. What Jesus said was going to happen happened. And now something new is going on. And they saw this guy. And Peter looked at him and said, hey, look at us. We got no cash. But we got something. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Now that is one of those moments that everybody's going, what's going to happen? And the guy stands up, and he starts jumping and running and praising God, and the crowd gathers, and they start treating Peter and John like rock stars. I mean, literally, they're coming around them like, oh my, these guys did it. They did it. Those are the two guys right there. He said it. No, that taller one, he's the one that said it. Yeah, the other one, no, he was with him. But no, he's the one that said it. And the people just start pressing in on him. And pandemonium breaks out, just like it should have broken out. And as it breaks out, things start going crazy in chapter 4, and that's where we pick up the story. The priest and the captain of the temple guard. Now, you know the music just changed, and things are going downhill when we open with those phrases right there. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees. Now, those are just religious leaders of the day. They came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. So there's a crowd is gathered. They're telling everybody what happened. If you go back to chapter 3 before, they're trying to just get close to them, and they're saying, hey, it's not us. We didn't do it. It wasn't our goodness. It wasn't our power. It wasn't our godliness. All this happened because of Jesus. That's how this guy got healed today. Not because of us, because of Jesus. They keep putting it right back to Jesus. They're carrying the name. And so as they're speaking, these guys, can you see them coming now? Can you see the religious crowd coming now? And they're just pushing their way through. Excuse me. So they can get right up to the front with all their religious authority and all of their, you know, preconceived ideas about how God's going to do everything. And they say in verse 2, it says in verse 2 about them, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus. Now, it's amazing if you circle how many times in these chapters it says in Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, in his name, the name of Jesus. They're not, it doesn't say they were preaching people, you know, in spiritual way. They were preaching in Jesus. The resurrection of the dead. Verse 3, they seized Peter and John. They had authority to take them in right there. It's temple grounds. They can do this. They arrested them under temple authority right then and there on the spot. They seized them, but it was the evening, so they put them in jail until the next day. Verse 4, that didn't stop God. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. So from that page to that page, this church that we're a part of tonight went from 3,000 people, men, to 5,000 men in two pages. That's pretty happening. I'm guessing they all had some families tagging along behind. So you got about 15, 20,000 people in a church just like that. That, my friends, is the move of the Spirit. And that's what we got to keep hoping for our city and our nation and the world. Not just well, one came and another one came and another one came, but that when the Spirit comes and the Spirit moves and Christ is exalted and people are empowered and the name is carried, that big stuff happens. 3,000 to 5,000 in one page. But yet the two guys that are telling the story, they're in jail now, so it's kind of weird. But that doesn't seem to slow things down. Verse 5, the next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Big powwow. Annas, the high priest, was there. And so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. I'm just telling you right now, you do not ever want to get your name in the Bible like those guys got their name in the Bible right there. That is not the way you want to be remembered. I want you to know, sometimes it's specific, like God broke out, the Spirit came, the church exploded, and there were these four guys. You don't want to be one of those four guys. I mean, the Spirit of God put him in the story. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them with this question: by what power or what name did you do this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Isn't that a cool phrase? That's really the way you want to say things to people, isn't it? You just want to be full of Spirit. Can I just remind you, I have a little small compact Bible, so it might not work in your Bible so much, but I'm right here, okay? I'm just going to do this, no sleight of hand. One page back, two pages back, so I've turned two pages now, three pages back, right there, in that verse right there. Can I read you what that says in that verse right there? It says, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, this was right when Jesus got arrested before he was crucified, he went with Jesus to the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back and spoke to the girl on duty there and brought Peter in. You are not one of his disciples, are you? The girl asked Peter. He replied, I am not. Jesus got arrested. Peter went with him. When he got stuck outside the high priest's gate, a girl comes out, another gospel says she recognizes him. I can tell by your accent that you're one of the guys that have been hanging around with him, aren't you? And he says, oh, no, not me. One, I know it's not chronology, just bear with me. Two, three, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. He went from being like you and me, a back down, back talking, I go to that church, you know. I mean, he went from not really confident here to now he's arrested himself. He's brought before the religious leaders. They stick their finger right in his chest and say, by what name or authority are you guys thinking you're doing all this in? And he said, well, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll tell you now. So he said to them, rulers and elders of the people, exclamation point. I won't yell because I'm trying to save my voice, but you get the point. He wasn't being, well, now rulers and elders of the people. I will raise my voice. He was like, I'd like to make sure everybody gets this. Thank you, rulers, and I'd like to acknowledge the elders of the people now. I'm going to speak now and answer your question now. And here comes your answer. If we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, mark this down, he's saying. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he had to throw this in for extra, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He, speaking of this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, verse 11, is the stone which you builders rejected, which has now become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And then verse 13, check out their response. When they saw the courage of Peter and John. Another translation says when they saw the confidence of Peter and John. So they're not ready for that. They were thinking they were going to be like, well, sirs, we're really sorry that we got a big crowd riled up and we didn't want to disturb anybody and hope we really haven't offended you and we'd really like to get out of here. No, they just stood up with this power that was apparently not human and spoke with such confidence that it set everybody kind of on their heels a little bit. And they said when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Then they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I love it. You see, the thing that we're hoping for, that I'm hoping for, is that there'll be places in life that people will, something will come down and people will say, man, I don't know what just happened right there, but I get the feeling something other than you is happening right here. That's what we're talking about when we say a church that's not just a church that gathers, but a church that carries. That's carrying the name, not just the name like academically, historically, theologically. I can answer all the questions and I have my little deal and I know the name and I can say the name. I'm talking about people who are literally carrying on their faith a personal connection with someone who's living and powerful. And that as they carry that name, people would say about them, man, what is up with those guys? I take notice of that guy. We got all these people rolling around, but when that girl comes in the room, when that guy comes in the room, when they enter the picture, take note. It's different. Somehow we think they've been with Jesus. Would you not want it to be said about you, and would I not want it to be said about me? The guy must have been with Jesus. The way he came rolling through here, the guy must have been with Jesus. And we're struggling as we come down to the end of this about like the ABC application point. That's the application point. When you and I are around things that we consider to be of high value, that touch our hearts in any significant way, we wear them, we talk about them, we carry them, we're all about it. We're tweeting and texting and Facebook status updating and yell telling and doing everything else, or hey telling, and I just heard about that yesterday. I'm behind the curve. That'll get a laugh down there. Brad, I'm back down in your world now. It's kind of like crazy because we're thinking, what's going on? How can I get this out? How can I broadcast? We're broadcast culture now. What can I blog about, talk about, text about, tell about? What can I say to everybody? This is my deal. And what happens in those moments is it's just an interaction happens. And when that interaction happens, communication is the result. And here's the hard part of this talk. If you're not wearing Jesus, it just comes down to this at the end. You're not with him. Or you may believe in him, and I may believe in him, but you haven't been with him. Because when you've been with him, you wear him. And when you wear him, people see him. And that's the dilemma of the one day a week church, because you can't carry it 6 days from here. You can barely make it to the parking lot from here. Some of you are gonna fight in the car on the way home because this has just been a momentary pause from the fight you started on the way here. There is nothing worse than that, is there? Shelly and I have done that once or twice where it's just on the way. It's just bedlam, you know? Not bedlam, but it's bad. You know, it's the hi, 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 hi. And then you get here and you're like, I'm standing on. That's crazy. They'd been with him, and therefore they had something to give. Let me just back up and just put our fingers down on a few thoughts tonight. And the main one is this, that in the middle of this story is Jesus' resurrection. His crucifixion, his sacrifice, his payment for all our wrong, and his resurrection. It's in the middle of this story, and that's the beginning point of carrying the name. It's so beautiful to me, the gospel in these passages. Just look at two places really quick. Chapter 2, in the middle of the sermon that we really kind of skipped over from Peter, just he so nails the gospel. If you ever wonder, how do I communicate this story of grace and truth to people, there's some amazing little gospels in here. Men of Israel, verse 22, and you can leave that part out and just say, Bob, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. There's the gospel right there in just a little concise form. He does it again in this passage that we just read in verse 8, coming down to verse 11. And so what happened to Peter from the woman, the girl that came out and said, hey, you're one of his, right? And he said, no, don't know the guy. What happened to him was Jesus gave his life and he saw it. Jesus stood in the gap for all of our wrong and he saw it. And then Jesus was raised on the third day by the power of God. And he saw that. And the story of the gospel came out of the prophetic pages and into reality for him. He experienced the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And that changed his outlook on the whole world. The second thing that happened, just to put our finger back on, is that when the Spirit came, the Spirit empowered normal people to do supernatural things. And this whole thing about these languages, I couldn't stop thinking about that since we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I've been thinking about it every single day. And what it really means to me is that the Holy Spirit's job and what he's really awesome at is giving us the ability to speak everybody's language. I love that. So it's not a one-size-all evangelism pitch. That's not what we have. If I can just get you to the church and you can hear this guy or this person talk, then you'll get the gospel. Come on. Maybe God's saying to you, you got the language. You know how to speak geek. You know how to talk to people whose heads are techie heads and geeky heads. You know how to get in their world. Get on their page, understand what they're all about, be passionate about the stuff that they're passionate about, and they look at you and go, yeah, I get that. And you probably got the ability, if you trust in the Holy Spirit, to let the gospel come through geekies and through techies into their world, and you can speak their language. You might not be able to go into the Brooks Brothers suit boardroom next door and talk to them, but somebody else in our church can. Somebody in here can speak Midtownese. Somebody can speak Suburbanese. Some of you guys know how to speak Cityese, Apple Appies. Apparently not I do, but some of you do. Some of you know how to speak Schoolese, Homeschoolese, Private Schoolese, Public Schoolese. We just got our kids out of school this year, ease. You know how to speak those languages. Because there are people all over this city that need to hear about Jesus, and they don't need to hear it one way. They need to hear the name one way. But it's going to come in different languages. And you say, well, how am I going to do that? The Holy Spirit is amazing at giving us the ability to communicate with people where they are, who they are, at the place they are, in the language that they understand. And he'll do that for you if you're called to the mission of being a witness to Jesus and you're in a circumstance where you really care about people and you say, Holy Spirit, will you come down into my life and be powerful in my life to allow me to speak out the name of Jesus in a language that these people will get and understand? I love that. That's a beautiful, beautiful work that you and I cannot pull off. And so you can't go carrying the name apart from the Holy Spirit. You just can't do it. You can't do it. You can't say, well, I'm going to carry the name, but I don't know or need the Holy Spirit. No, you do need to know, and you do need the Holy Spirit because he brings the power, and he brings the ability for us to resonate on different levels with people. It's kind of like if we got 9 languages up here right now, and I had them read a statement that said, you know, Passion is coming to such and such a city on such and such a date, and the people are going to be there with them as Chris Tomlin and this person and Louis Giglio. They'd stand up here and be like, yang, 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 Chris Tomlin, yang, 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 Louis Giglio. Next person, some other thing we don't understand, Chris Tomlin. Other thing, I love that about going to foreign countries because I don't get anything, Louis Giglio. Anything, Chris Tomlin. Because when you say the names, you say the names. It's pretty cool. So I don't know how you're going to communicate to your world, but I know when you get to the name, we'll all know it. Because the name will be the same every place and every time. It'll be Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And when we see the story, and we really, really end that story, that death, that substitution of Christ hanging in our place, that resurrection power where death and hell and darkness, all the chains are broken. Guilt and condemnation are buried forever. And you see that risen Jesus, that reigning Jesus. And that's combined now with this welcoming power of the Holy Spirit. You got something else to offer to the world. I don't know what you're offering. When they saw that guy, they didn't have silver or gold, but they had something. It's kind of like, I feel like we're going through the world as the church most of the time, and we'll see somebody beside us with a need. It might be that woman at the well we talked about, or the woman with the issue of blood that was just trying to get to the cloak, or the blind guy that kept yelling even though the disciples were trying to push him out of the way. I don't know who it's going to be. Could be a guy you're playing golf with, and he ain't got any problems as far as he can tell, but you can tell where all his problems are, and so you know things aren't going as great as he thinks they are. And I wonder, what are we going to offer as Passion City Church to the world? What do we got in our bag for them? And I've just been paying attention to the church for a while, for a long while, and to my life for a while. And sometimes, you know, I think what we're offering to the world out of our little bag of stuff, first thing out a lot of times is, well, some of us don't get anything out. We just put these guys in right here. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they're kind of jumbled up right now, but a lot of us just going through life like this. Got our little groove on. You know, and it's part of it's because we just love music, and a lot of it is because I just really don't want to hear anything. And you just walk right past five people who are just huge needs. How great is our God standing on. I am getting my worship on the train. And he's saying, hey, excuse me, can you take those out for a minute? Because there's somebody right there, and you've never even heard him. So sometimes, you know, this is good to have if you want to kind of just do your thing. Sometimes I brought just a few cards. We have these for sale at PassionCityChurch.com. I know it will work out. My daughter has a cancer. Oh, and it, here, can I just give you this, brother? Oh, you don't like that one? I am so sorry to hear that. Yeah, I lost my job. Things are really tough, and my wife, I think, is going to walk out of me. Can I just let you have that? No, take it. Seriously, take it. Oh, you don't like that one? Well, I'll be thinking about you. I'm sorry, I don't have silver or gold, but I just want you to know I'll be thinking about you, bro. And especially with those crippled legs. Like, would you just have that one, would you? Oh, you don't like that one? I'll pray for you. It says on the inside, not really. Ooh, that one's tough, isn't it? I just want you to know I'll be praying for you, and I'll be thinking about you, and I'm sorry to hear about that, and I know it's going to work out. Okay, here, with love. Boy, it got quiet after that. Oh, I'm so sorry that it went down that way, man. I just want to loan you this CD. It's my favorite band. I can tell you're going through really hard times, so I want you to have this and one of these. Because I'm feeling extra generous today with my ministry. Oh, we love these. How to find the right book to help you through the darkest hour, now updated. I just give this to you. Because I'm sure going through what you're going through right now, you have time to read this. Oh, here's one. How to have hope. Have you seen it? You can get the Bible study guide as well. And Go through it 8 weeks from now, who knows? Then there's this one that you might just want to carry with you. It's just called winning. You know what's worse? A lot of times people come to us and they say, man, I got such a need in my life. And you know what we got in our bag for them? This is the worst one of all. Did I tell you about the time? I'm so sorry you're going through those hard times and at work. Did I ever tell you about the time when I used to work at such and such and such and such, and you know, that deal, my boss and the whole thing, and 30 minutes later, you've basically given them this. Yeah, I've got this physical thing going on. I just wish you'd pray for me. You know, one time I had something like that, and I had this thing, and it was like on the back of my leg right here, and it was really weird. Let me show you this thing anyway right here. I got this thing still from the back of it back there. It was kind of weird. And I went to such a, who are you going to? Oh, yeah, well, I thought about going to him, but I ended up going to her. And anyway, they gave me this thing, and did you ever get that thing? And I got this thing, and I'm saying anything. And then ever since then, my hand does this weird thing. So when I do that, his hand does a weird thing. It's kind of a weird thing. Here, can you just hold this? A lot of times, because honestly, we haven't been with Jesus, and we really have never really fully gotten this connection with Holy Spirit, and so we kind of like either got the headphones in, like, you know what, I know there are people all around me that have a lot of problems, but A, I'm busy, A, I don't have time, and C, the real story is I don't have a clue what to tell them. Or if I do, it's going to be some little thing that, like, you know, they can get off inspiration.com and they don't need the church. You can go online and get a million of these and get one sent to you by text to your phone every single day. A happy little thought to make all your problems go away. This is not what people need. And they don't need a book and they don't need a DVD of mine and they don't need something else. They need somebody standing there going, I'm with you, man. And I'll tell you something. I don't know everything about everything, but I have been in this word and I have been in this book with Jesus, and I think there's something in here that you can stand on, and everything in your life might literally fall apart between now and Thursday, but I believe if you stand on this promise right here, it will be bedrock underneath your feet, because it's been bedrock underneath my feet in my life. And I want to open it up to you, man. It's not like, hey, I'm scribbling a little scriptures verse for you on the back of a postage stamp. I'm actually showing you the heart, the character, the person of Jesus Christ in the living Word of God. And I'm telling you, you can bank on this. And you can bank on Him. And at the end of the day, it's not all about words on a page. At the end of the day, I want to transfer you right over to the person of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, He's something else. And I'm not going to put a brick on you, brother, but I will tell you this. I went through something just like what you're going through, and the only thing that got me through was Jesus. And they might say to you, I don't know what they'll say to you. They might be people in the crowd like Anna, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and they might call you in and say, what is your problem? There is no guarantee that every time we speak the name of Jesus, everybody is going to get it. It didn't even happen to them. There is a man who is crippled, and it says later he was in his 40s. And he's dancing all over the place, over here, right there, like right there. That's the guy that's been at the gate every day. And they're talking to these guys, and eventually they say to him, stop talking to people about Jesus. So if they did that, then some of the people in our world, when we tell them what Christ is doing in our lives, are going to say to us, so what? I mean, these guys had a miracle dancing right in front of them in the name of Jesus, and they still wanted them to shut up and stop talking. So there is no guarantee that every time you say the name of Jesus, that all this stuff necessarily is going to happen the way you think. Here's the deal that I've learned to live with. We've got to speak the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit in language that people understand. That means it's not a spiritual bumper sticker. It's not a little Jesus button. It's some way that really resonates with people and lets them know we're down in their world with them, because we are. And then speaking that name and saying, Holy Spirit, I'm going to leave all the results to you. That's the most beautiful part of it all. Because a lot of us are hesitant to speak the name because we're afraid we're going to get rejected or somebody's going to tell us they're not interested. And I'm telling you, some people will. Anna did, Caiaphas did, John did, and Alexander did, and these other leaders did. Somebody is going to say that to us. But 5,000 people said yes to Jesus. And so what our deal is to speak the name and trust the Spirit. To be in the culture, to be with people, to be with their language, to offer them more than just a little simple thing. Even if the thing we offer them is, I don't know what to say to you right now, and I don't know what to do for you right now, but I'm going to stand here with you, and I'm going to believe with you. I'm literally going to get on my knees for you, and I'm going to be with you and walk with you starting right now through this journey, because I've had Jesus with me, walking with me this whole time as well. And I'm just going to leave the results to the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a friend of mine that I've been trying to encourage in his walk with Jesus for over 3 years now. And it's just highs and lows and highs and lows and highs and lows. He's living in another town from here and trying to find a place to worship and going through some struggles and hard times. And a couple of weekends ago, I spent like half a day on the phone with friends in other cities and other countries trying to triangulate people that could meet him and get him there and help him be in worship and help him reconnect with people. And all the pieces all fell in place, and then he just didn't show. You know, and that happens. It happens to me, I just want you to know. There are no preacher stories up here. Well, everyone I talk to receives Christ. And everybody I encourage spiritually, they just make fantastic progress up the Mount Everest of spiritual growth. It doesn't happen that way. But you trust the Spirit. You trust the Spirit to work with that name. We did this worship gathering a few weekends ago called Lift. Most of you heard about it, where Matt Redman recorded his album, and it was a really powerful time. And on the last night was really the main album recording night. And Matt was going to play for a couple hours, and he'd said to me, at any point you want to come and do ministry, any point you want to come and lead, just come. I mean, it'd be great if you came after this song, but if you want to come any other songs, just come whenever you want to come. As soon as I see you coming, I'll know you got something, and I'll back up, and it'll be great. We'll do the whole night like that. Well, Matt starts leading about the second, third song, and I'm back at front of house looking at the stage, and I'm like, this is so powerful. This night is so amazing, and Matt's leading not only ministry, I mean, not only music, but he's ministering so powerfully. I'm like, I don't need to say anything. I don't need to do anything. And so I just said to the Holy Spirit, I'm not going up there unless you give me something, like something specific. I'm not going up there. I'm not going up there to fill in or do a thing or because it's on a deal or the band needs a little extra breather or they need to, you know, think about the next four songs they're about to record. And the Holy Spirit, I felt like he impressed on my heart, I want you to give the gospel because someone here tonight is going to trust Jesus to become their life. And I was looking around, 900 worship leaders. Going for it. Place is cooking. There are worship leaders around, over there, written songs that all of us sing at church. Over there, worship leaders that people know. Over there, people going for Jesus. People going crazy. The room is full. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. So I say, okay. So a couple songs go by, and I'm still not feeling it. And so I say again, so I'm just only going to go if you confirm that. Same deal as before, still on it. Somebody here going to trust Jesus tonight. I want you to go give them an opportunity to do that. That's what I'd like you to do. And I'm like, really? Really? Yeah, really? Okay. So I'm hoping that's going to go away. I'm hoping that feeling's going to go away. I'm hoping that's me and not the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give it another song just in case it's me, right? So now I'm walking up backstage. Matt's leading this song, and the place literally, I'm not exaggerating, the place is blowing up spiritually. It is so not a gospel presentation moment. And I'm standing there with the gospel in my mouth, in my Bible, and Matt's leading, and he backs up, and I'm like, well, here I go, and I just said, okay, Holy Spirit, here we go, and Matt backed up, and the people just took over and started singing the song more and more and more, and then Matt kind of came back in. It was one of those moments, and I was like, thank you, Lord, that's awesome. I'll receive that. See, I had a shot, but now it's done, and I'll just hang out back here. That was fantastic, and then that died down, and Matt turns around, and he looks right at me, and we're locked eyes together, and I'm like, you want to keep going? So I'm not standing up here as like, you know, Father Faithful, you know, I'm really just like you. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, keep going. Like, isn't that awesome of me as a leader? I'm just giving you freedom. I'm just saying, no, you carry it. You're doing a great job. I don't need to come. And he goes, he looks right at me and he goes, and people aren't even seeing it. He goes, do you have something? You don't know this happens, do you? You didn't know all this was going down. And I went, uh-huh. And he goes, turns around, the drummer ends, the whole thing dies down, and out I come with the gospel. There are people on their knees. There are people singing spontaneous songs. Angels are flying through the building. It's just, I'm not making this up. I wanted to just say, Lord, I just want to get down on the floor and just worship you, and I don't want to hear anybody, especially me, talking right now. And so I said, I don't know if this resonates or not, but I'm sensing that there's somebody here, and this is exactly what I felt, that all of your life, you've been around this stuff, but you've never, ever put your faith in Jesus. You've never seen the gospel. And I just want to give you a chance to put your faith in the Son of God tonight. And there are already people standing because it's a beautiful moment, right? There's people standing, people sitting, people kneeling. There's people hands up. I mean, all over this thing. And so I say, so some people are already standing and it's dark in there, of course. And I said, but I just want to invite you to stand if you'd like to put your faith in Jesus. And if you've never done that before, I want to give all of you a chance to do that in the next couple of years here, because it's an interesting feeling to stand in front of a room like this and say that. Because everyone's not looking at everyone. Everyone's looking at you like you are right now. And if nobody stands, they don't go, well, I guess, you know, the Holy Spirit wouldn't work, and they go, man, you got that wrong. Maybe I should stand. I'm a believer, but I might just stand anyway because I feel sorry for that guy up there, you know? Over here. So I'm looking. And I said, we're in no hurry here. We'll just wait. No pressure. We have nowhere to be. These are the things you say when you're waiting. We're here in God's presence. Where else would we rather be? Day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. So we'll wait 1,000 years if necessary, but, you know, and nobody stood up. And so that's cool. And so I said, well, I just want to pray over some of you. We did that, and then Matt came back, and the night was just unreal. It's incredible. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I hate being honest like this because it just makes me look like an idiot. But I walked off, and I was like, oh, way to ruin a great night for 900 people. Way to go, man. That was fantastic. I hope you can teach on that in the School of Beautiful Ministry Transitions when you teach that class next time. That was really good. That's what you call a groove buster right there. That's what you call busting up the momentum right there. And so I walk off, and he does this. I'm feeling all this. And I'm thinking he's going to come off and go, what was that? So anyway, everybody gets done, and it's, oh, that was great, that's great, great night, way to go. And we're kind of down in this little, we're in this little venue, we're down this little narrow hallway underneath, and our team comes up, and one of the team comes up and says, man, did you see that guy that stood up? I said, no. Yeah, there's a guy that stood up, and I just saw where he was, and so I asked Pritch if he'd go up and talk to him afterwards, and so Pritch went up and talked to him. I said, get Pritch down here right now. So Pritch comes down and he goes, yeah. Guy stood up, and so when it ended, I went up there and said, hey, man, I just noticed you stood up. And he goes, and help me if I don't get all these details right. And he comes out with this story. He's about 19 years old. Is that correct? close to right. That is right. And he says to John, I've been in church my whole life, and I've never felt the presence of God. And I've been here this whole weekend, and I haven't felt a thing. And I'm looking around this room at all these people, and I'm going, what? And he said to John, when Louis walked out on the stage, my heart started beating 1,000 miles an hour. And as he shared, it even intensified more and more. And after he had shared, it all clicked for me. And I got it. And I, for the first time in my life, know that I'm in the presence of God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And I don't say that to redeem me, because I'm unredeemable in this story. I blew the story. I mean, not really, because I did what the Holy Spirit, I thought, put on my heart to do. But at the same time, I didn't have the confidence of what I'm telling you you should have the confidence in right now. So I'm sitting where you're sitting right now, and we're all hearing this together in this moment to say, our role is to speak the name. Our role is to lift Jesus up. Our role, when the moment is right and the timing is right and the relationships have been built, or however the Holy Spirit leads, is to, in a way that people can get it and understand, to lift up Jesus and to say, okay, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to leave the results to you, Holy Spirit. And I've done it 1,000 times different, and I wish I'd done it different that night, where I've done the very same thing, sometimes same results. I've walked off at the end of the night and I've said, it doesn't matter what I saw, it doesn't matter what we saw, it doesn't matter what we thought. God, we know that you are working right now. We know you're working right now, because he always is, and he always does. And the same thing that these guys said at the end of this deal is true tonight. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that's why this guy's life was changed. And so he sums up by saying salvation. What does that mean? It means peace with God and a relationship with God that never ends. It means repair of a broken heart and a price paid for all the wrongs of our lives. Forgiveness, that's what it means. In life, again. Salvation is found in no one else. That's why it's critical that every one of us in the building tonight embrace the privilege of carrying his name. Because salvation is found in no other name. For there's no other name under heaven that's been given to men by which we must be saved. I wonder if when I get into the presence of God in heaven, if he were to hand me a printout of all the names I've spoken in my life, the name of a school, the name of a football team, the name of a band, the name of a company, the name of a stock, the name of a school, and they were all there. This is how many times you said this name. This is how many times you said this name. This is how many times you said this name. This is how many times you said this name. This is how many times you said this name. And this is how many times you said the name of Jesus. And you're standing in his presence, knowing that that was the only name under heaven that could save anyone. And I know I'm going to want to look at that thing and go, I want the Jesus to go 1,000,000 miles up to there, because I just got that long of a life on earth. And it's the only name by which men can be saved. Jesus, thank you for that hope tonight. So once again, we just rest our case, Jesus, with you tonight. Living water, healer, truth, way maker, chain breaker. We just rest our case with you. And we lift you up here tonight as really what we have. We got new Passion CDs, but that's not going to be enough for somebody here. And so we're lifting you up, Jesus.